There's just a whole lot of noise. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it's Monday, December 30th, 9:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio this morning with my almost empty cup of chai. I have almost emptied my cup of chai with cinnamon creamer in it. And I'm in my backup cup is that's what's making the news today. We're almost ending this year. This year has been almost over since it began. We're almost into the next year, which puts us almost at the end of that year because next thing it'll be over. Well, it won't matter. I have homemade sweet tea, but it's also peach tea. However, it's not the best peach tea I've ever made. And the reason is, and the tea is good. The tea itself is fine. The peaches are a canned peach, chunk peaches, chunks of peaches. And there's just a hint of pear juice. They always put if you ever canned peaches, they always put pear juice in with them. Pear juice, I guess, tends to it's kind of like a preservative. It's all natural stuff and it tastes like peaches, but it's not quite as good as just like cutting up fresh peaches, putting them in there. It's a whole different ball game when you just cut up fresh peaches right off a tree. But it is, it's good. It's good tea. Unfortunately, I think I'm all out of. Yep. I have drank all my, just in the process of getting the show ready this morning. I was hoping to do the show a lot earlier today. I've got to head off to someplace today. I've got someplace to go. Tomorrow morning, there will not be a show. I don't know if there's going to be a show tomorrow night or not. I don't think there's going to be a show tomorrow. It's New Year's Eve. I've got some things to do. New Year's Day, unfortunately, I will be heading down to Key West. Sorry. There will not be a show from Key West. But there will be probably, hopefully, there'll be a show back here Thursday, believe it or not. So in the meantime, let's just say that things are hopping and popping. I decided to take on a project on New Year's Day because it's holiday pay. I get holiday pay for that. And it's quite a well-paid holiday pay, actually. So I'm gonna smile all the way there and all the way back. But let's just say I'm going to be compensated for that. So there won't be a show. January 2nd, there will be a new show, New Year show. And it will be primarily, today's show is primarily going to be what this year has been about. If there is a show tomorrow, which I'm hoping to get a show done tomorrow. If I do a show tomorrow, it will be what this next year is going to contain. Hopefully, at least, you know, Lord willing, we'll be able to do some new things. But I want to review what's happened over the last year. And we started off this year, this 2024, with Donald Trump had already announced that he was running for president, and Joe Biden had not yet announced that. And so we were getting into the election season. And you know, it's what's difficult about some of this is how much hype there has been this year, the rate that people do things. You know, I'm not, I don't have what's called a high energy show. I'm not just talking, you know, 100 miles an hour and trying to get in as many words as possible. So I'm just me talking. You know, it's just me sharing my opinions on things. It's the news, according to me. That's what it is. It is what it is. And it's pretty self-explanatory. The issues I think that come up, I think, with most shows, most things, is the that they try to pack so much stuff in, and it's just this constant hype rhetoric. Just the narrative has to be, you know, it's all scripted. It has to be packed into a certain amount of time. There's advertisements. They have to do it within a certain allotted amount of time, within the hour, within a 15-minute time, within, you know, whatever it is. Then you get the sponsors, and not only is there a time constraint, there's even content constraints and things they can say. Probably one of the biggest reasons I will probably never have a sponsor unless I sponsor have a business of my own that sponsors it. And I just don't see that happening. It's just there's so much control and influence from big money, big corporations, big corporate world out there, tech and everything else. And I know for a fact that depending on what I say on my podcast, I know that I am throttled quite often. I can see it at the numbers. I know if I talk about certain things or make mention of certain things or use certain words even, I can tell by the statistics that I'm being throttled. I don't know if anybody put shadow banned, whatever you want to call it. I know that happens. And it's a bit frustrating in some ways. You know, you can cry foul because it's freedom of speech. But at the end of the day, it is it's a private contract between me and the vendor. If I want to truly have free speech, I can start my own website. I can put my own stuff out there, and I can put. But then again, you're throttled by Google. You know, anybody that wants to search for your site, there's big corporate. It doesn't matter really as far as people finding your site. So many of these. Even some of the lesser known places like Rumble or anything else, you are still limited. Now within Rumble, you're not that limited because they have their own search criteria and their own algorithms. However, within the normal world out there, if anyone is trying to find your Rumble channel and they try to do a Google search or whatever search they do, DuckDuckGo is pretty good. There's some others that are pretty good that won't throttle or shadow ban things. It's just a straight shirt search. It doesn't have any kind of filtration on it. And, the problem is by far, many of the search engines within certain websites are driven by certain search engines like Google or whatever you put in there. Most of them have some kind of criteria. There's this new service that has come out for that one of the I actually post this podcast on two different platforms. And one of them has the option of you click on this little thing and it listens to your entire podcast and it posts a transcript of your podcast. Now it's kind of nice because that when you put that in the posting, it actually increases your SOE or search engine optimization, SEO, I guess it is. And the problem with that is it also increases the efficiency by which they can throttle you. If there's certain things, because automatically, it's all right there. It makes it much easier. The powers that be out there that don't have to necessarily search your audio file now, they just have to look at the transcript, and the transcript has already done all the filtration for them, so it's just all the words are there. A lot easier for the system to do that. It takes a lot of pressure off the system to do that. So it's a two-edged sword. So I try to avoid that. I don't even use that. I'm trying to get as the least amount of censorship that I can, but it's still out there. And I say that leading into this because, you know, we've had this whole issue of Elon Musk buying Twitter and how Twitter, they keep trying to say this is from the mainstream leftist media, continues to say that Elon Musk is the reason, because he didn't stop the disinformation, the misinformation coming from Twitter. He didn't filter anything out. He didn't ban all this misinformation coming from the right. And that's why Trump won. So it's Elon Musk's fault. Now they say that half wittingly because they know that that's not the case. They and you can look at all the statistics on Twitter, on X. It's now called X. And it's very obvious that it's about a 50-50 split of left-wing, right-wing rhetoric on there. I would say it's very well balanced. They've got something else. I don't even know what it's called now. They launched another platform because of Twitter. They've launched something else, something blue, whatever. I don't know what it is. And of course, it's just leftists just tearing up each other, arguing amongst themselves. They try to create this utopian society where it just doesn't work. Which brings me into something that's happening present day right now. I want to talk about this whole thing with Vivek Ramaswamy and the whole H-1B visa program. This is a worker visa program. I think there's about 100,000 people per year are allowed into the country based on either they get their education and or they can also work with certain skills that they have. And I really don't have an opinion on this. This of all the things that I've got an opinion on, this is one of those things that I just don't see the... And then they're saying, oh, MAGA's falling apart because they're all arguing amongst themselves and everybody's tearing them. MAGA's being torn apart by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. No, it's not. This is normal. This is like a family argument. You don't have this kind of thing. This is what normal discourse looks like. You know, you have your arguments. You have your point of view. And you work it out. I could make arguments on both sides of this issue and probably convincingly have some arguments on both sides of this issue about whether or not we should be bringing people in. For the most part, you know, everybody likes to quote statistics. Well, the average salary for most of these people that are coming in is $34,000 to $50,000, and these aren't the high-paid, high-tech jobs that we're trying to... I don't know, folks. I'm not so sure. I don't understand that part of it as much. Now, I do know that there's anytime you get some kind of issues like this, there's usually some chicanery that goes on. And I know that there's some big tech people out there who have pushed for these kinds of visas and they use them. I think even Uber, there's some statistics that show that Uber laid off or fired a whole bunch of drivers. I don't know how you do that. How do you fire Uber drivers? I thought they were independent. But now I tried to be an Uber driver once, but my car wasn't new enough to be one. They wouldn't let me do it, even though my car was well-maintained, very safe car, looked perfectly present. I've been in some Ubers that, folks, I was concerned about. And... you know, I would much rather have been in my car. So there's this kind of thing is, you know, continuously going on. And I couldn't be one. I'm glad I never got that job. I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to kind of Uber around once in a while, get to know the community a little better. But it's not, because it's not a moneymaker. I hear sometimes I'm in Ubers and I'm asking guys, you know, especially if it's a longer trip, and I talk to them a little bit about, you know, have you started your day, or are you just ending your day, or, you know, what's going on with your day? You know, because these guys, sometimes they know, if they've been doing it for a while, they know the community pretty well. And some of them are driving some, you know, brand new cars around. And I don't think they realize the guys that seem to be doing okay do their own maintenance. And that's the one of the probably the biggest things, biggest advantages I would probably have is that I do my own maintenance, which helps an awful lot. These guys that are paying somebody else to do, especially brakes. Brake jobs are extremely expensive. Oil changes aren't cheap anymore. Just your common, you know, everyday average, you know, keep the thing running kind of. And then you're out there all the time with all the crazy people, and you're trying to stop in different places and pull in and pull it out, and got people throwing trash on your floor. You got all this stuff you got to do to keep the car clean. You got and just basically the general normal routine maintenance, let alone anything that else happens. You know, light bulbs going out, everything else that happens. Little fender benders here and there. Let alone the gas prices. So it's one of those things. And then of course, Uber takes a huge chunk out of your, which amazes me because there's really very little overhead on their end. Other than, you know, paying lawyers. But, you know, so the gig economy is, you know, again, they just get ripped off more and more. I think Lyft is a little bit better, but I don't know if it's any better really. So we go down this whole road of, you know, Twitter being taken over. I guess I'm getting off track here. But we had just a whole lot of things going on this last year that led up to, of course, the independent media becoming a huge factor. I mean, more than just a huge factor, it actually became quite significant. And it's one of those things where, you know, podcasts and independent media really is where people are turning now, because I think that the big corporate media companies have realized that they are they've killed themselves, because really what has happened is they've lied and lied and gaslit for so long. People started looking into, you know, when the election got closer and people had time to actually look at what was going on, they started finding out what was going on. They started listening, especially with Joe Rogan saying what he was doing. Then you've got Kamala, who just thumbs her nose at I think she was thumbing her nose at America. And she's surround, you know, when you surround yourself with people who are just clapping and you know, have you convinced, because you're standing on a stage and everything that you say, there's lights that light up and tell people when to clap, and you got these little lines that are going so well, every place you stop, you're saying the same thing over and over. And you get really good at saying those little stinger lines. You really get passionate about saying, should never, ever, never again stand behind the seal of the President of the United States. Like you have all this righteous indignation welling up inside of you. Well, that's good. Well, good for you. It doesn't help me at the gas pump. Or at the checkout line in the grocery store. Or paying for my health care. It doesn't help any of that. And when you've got a guy who will just come on and talk for 3 hours about life, what he thinks about, just different things like that, it's very obvious. Joe Rogan went from a man who said he didn't want to help Trump at all, didn't want to give him any kind of promotion, wasn't going to let him on his show, to endorsing him. That's where the nation went in the last 6 months of the election season. Let's back up a little bit and talk about this. We have, you know, going into 2024, the beginning of the year, we had Trump, you know, he had already announced that he was running. We had Joe Biden still teetering on the edge of whether or not he was going to run or not. Everybody assumed he was, but they hadn't really put him into that position yet. Everybody was assuming Joe was going to be the nominee. Now, I was, even at the end of last year, I and many others were saying that Joe Biden was not going to be the nominee. When they were having the primaries, when they were having the initial, you know, all the people who came out to run for president were initially coming out and they were having debates. Vivek Ramaswamy was one of those people who came out and said, just why don't you just put the person you're going to put out there now so we can start having debates with them instead of hiding behind Joe Biden, because we all know Joe Biden's not going to be the candidate. He said that. He was right. I still contend there is an 80% chance Joe Biden will not be the president on January 20th, or January 19th, I should say. I believe there will be a President Kamala Harris, in my opinion. I don't know. If that happens, I would say we need to be very careful. Because, again, the end justifies the means with these people, and there is no limit to what they might do. Just saying. You know, they project a lot of things on other people, all the while they're the ones doing the very things that they're projecting. Because it's how they think. That's how they would do it. So they project it on the other side. Oh, he's going to use the criminal justice system against his political opponents. Kind of like you've been doing for the last 2 years. Actually, last 8 years. So, all of the rhetoric that we heard this year, of course, we went into the year with Donald Trump's court cases being the issue because they were trying to disqualify him, so they were filing all these lawsuits and trying to get him stopped. All these lawsuits were out there, and they were all, the walls kept closing in, and you had Michael Cohen, who was Trump's former lawyer, who was the one who told Trump it was legal to do what he was doing, and then ended up becoming, after he got convicted of, he basically got sued and punished by I think he lost his license to practice. Then became a commentator for CNN or MSNBC, whatever he was doing. And he was their main go-to guy because he was Donald Trump's former fixer. And all of a sudden he's an enemy of Donald Trump and he's out there because they're paying him to do so. When you're getting paid to be somebody's, to turn on somebody, much like it was a Cassidy, whatever her name was. Clavicle girl, we call her. So we have all this rhetoric and they're having all this stuff. The walls kept closing in all year long. The walls were closing in. All these cases are going to disqualify him. And they really didn't care whether he was disqualified or not. That was part of it. Of course, then he had Colorado and a couple other states that were trying to actually get him off the ballot to keep him from being on the ballot. Because, they care so much about democracy. Heaven forbid we should have him on the ballot and have people vote for him. He possibly becomes the president. That's, what a threat to democracy that would be. They kind of painted themselves into a corner this year because they went on and on and on and on about how they have to accept the results of the election. Yeah, I have to accept it. You have to accept it. And then the election didn't turn out the way they wanted it. And they're the ones who don't accept it. They're still fighting against them now. And my understanding is there's a movement that could potentially be something that would screw up January 6th this year. They're going to try to stop it. It's one of those things now where if they try to pull something now, they might as well just bury their own party because they're not going to come back from that. If they try to do something screwy, they're still in the same playbook that they've been in all year. They still have the same rhetoric, they're just coming back now with the same thing, saying, "Oh, Donald Trump evil. He's going to do these things. Now, of course, in the meantime, they're trying to sell off all the wall building material that's down on the border for pennies on the dollar. My understanding is there's some contractors that have come in and basically they're buying it up. And they're saying, there's several of them have said, we will sell it back for exactly what we paid for it. So it's because they just, if you build, you can build, you could, now there are some contractors who have said they're going to buy it all up and sell it back for twice, you know, twice what it was, they originally paid for it, which I don't understand that at all. So why would you do that? Why would we buy it back at that point? I would just buy new stuff for less money. I guess I know it takes longer to get it. But that's just ridiculous. But those are the kind of people who just, they just want to bilk America. They're bilking the taxpayer. That's what they're doing. The people who want to buy it and sell it back for the same, for what they paid for it, those people are the true heroes in this whole thing. If they actually do that. They actually care about the country. Because they're an American. You know, they're American people and they understand it's, this affects America. So, as the year went on and the rhetoric heated up into the election season, we were told that Joe Biden was the best version of Joe Biden that has ever been. Everybody, not just Morning Joe, not just Mika Brzezinski, but there's all these people, Harry Sisson, all these people, other people, Nancy Pelosi. Everybody was telling us how engaging he was, how wonderful he was, and he's Merrick Garland was telling us this. Mayorkas was telling us how focused and on top of the issues he was. They were all testifying to this, along with Jean-Claude Pierre. So she was also telling us how wonderful he was, and then of course we started. People started posting videos of him doing crazy stuff. And all we were told was that these are cheap fakes. Now, they weren't deep fakes. They were cheap fakes. In other words, they were just edited versions of what he was doing. These are cheap fakes. They're trying to make it sound like deep fakes where, you know, it's not where you just, you can ask AI to just create an image. I see this all the time, especially on shorts. They'll have some doctor who's telling you something. I just saw this the other day of now they've got, there was a short with, somebody who's on Fox News, I can't remember her name, and she was on there interviewing somebody and talking about this other doctor who was in, and of course this other doctor is this doctor that they use a lot for, they have her speaking, and you can tell it's AI because her mouth isn't moving exactly with the words that are being spoken, and it's too canned. You can tell that there's, if you don't type things just right, when you type a script into AI, the AI voices, the voiceover work that people are trying to do, if you type the script in, if you don't put in a certain, you know, put it a certain way, like here I'm reading this, let's say let's pull up this thing right now. Here we go. The events unleashed by Hamas October 2023 attack on Israel reverberated across the Middle East in 2024. And then it comes to like the death toll now exceeds 4,000 to 5,000 and northern Gaza. So this is the kind of thing, that's how AI would read that. They would read it funny. They wouldn't just say 2023, 2024, 45,000. They wouldn't do that. You almost have to write out exactly the words that you wanted to speak, and there's no pauses sometimes between certain things. It goes right into something else, and then it goes, if you forget to put a period in, it just goes, you know, the events unleashed by Hamas 2020, it'll get to the end of a sentence, and it'll say, continue this war in Gaza, the death toll, continue this war in Gaza, the death toll. It'll put pauses in weird places. So AI voiceover is terrible. And so some of these people are using these deep fakes. And you can tell that they're, most of the time you can tell. Now, there's some very good ones out there. If somebody takes the time to really do it right, they can make a 30-second clip of somebody saying something. You wouldn't know the difference. There's just, you know, just general watching it, especially the general public who only has a 30-second, you know, attention span. But they came out and said this cheap fake thing. These are cheap fakes of they're just making Biden look bad. And he came out live on a debate. Because, you know, everything else was recorded and edited up until then. And he's sitting there stumbling over his words, having all kinds of issues. Now, keep in mind, at the beginning of the year, he did a State of the Union address. And everybody was claiming, oh, they can't claim cognitive dissonance now. It's not like Beavis and Butthead all standing around kind of just, you know, encouraging each other, saying, he was incredible tonight. Oh, he was incredible. He was on point. And I said, of course, the whole time he's yelling at everybody. Everybody thought he was an angry old man yelling at everybody on the television. There were little kids watching him saying, why is that man so angry? There was this guy who recorded his little three-year-old. They were sitting there watching the State of the Union, and she said, why is that man so angry? He came across like an angry old man. Get off my lawn! The creepy stuff where he'd whisper and he'd yell and whisper and yell. Because he was hyped up on something. Now, again, this comes back to his sinus issue that I talked about the other day, and I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Just you can go back and listen to it. So finally, then all of a sudden, Joe Biden, he's in the race. He's going to stay in the race. He's yelling at everybody saying, I'm staying in the race. I'm the only one who's ever beat Trump. I'm going to beat him again. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, I'm dropping out. It's time for a new, time to pass the torch to a new generation. That he put in a tweet 24 hours after he was doubling down on him running for president. Now, whether it was Joe or whether it was Kamala, I don't think it would have mattered. However, I think the process really put a lot of people off. The fact that they didn't have time for a primary. Yes, you did have time for a primary. There's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes, and I think people just got uneasy about it. They realized what was happening here. You don't have to know the details sometimes. You just have to know there's just something not right about that whole thing. Something sketchy there going on, and people just didn't trust it. A lot of people just didn't show up. Not 15 million didn't show up who happened to be there in 2020. We don't know what happened to those people. We didn't know where they came from in 2020, and we don't know where they went in 2024. All we know is there's 15 million people wandering around out there with ballots. This seemed to be a little bit lost. My dog likes to scratch the floor when I talk, apparently. But he doesn't do that when I'm not talking. So then we get into the election season itself. The rhetoric ramps up. We are continually told that Trump wants Hitler's generals, that he's a fascist by people on the inside, people that he fired, by the way. He's a fascist. He wants to run the government wants to run the military like a fascist. That's, you know, it's all orange man bad. Don't give us any policies. Don't give us any. They know full well that the economy was in bad shape. People needed a change. They kept saying, it's going to be a change. It's going to be a change. You're already in it. You're already in the administration. Well, I'm not Joe Biden, but I'm also not Donald Trump. Okay, then who are you? Well, I can't tell you who I am. It's kind of like the bill. You have to just pass the bill, and then you find out what's in it. You just have to elect me, and then you find out what's in me. Folks, we dodged a bullet on this one, big time. Much like we did in 2016. If Hillary Clinton had become president in 2016, we'd be living in a very different world right now. You saw what has happened over the last 4 years with war. Everything has happened. I guess there's a couple different definitions of the deep state. There's the deep state that I talk that I when I refer to the deep state, I'm talking about the three-letter organizations that are out there with all the shady characters that act in the shadows who try to control things from behind the scenes. I'm not talking about the folks who work for the administrations who are there to, you know, change the light bulbs and do all the other stuff. Now, this Harry Sisson kid, who's nothing but a shill for the Democrats, he gets paid by the Democrats, by the way. He's a young kid who's supposedly trying to be a college age influencer. He has come out now. One of his big things now, he's come out against, because there's this amazing moment on January 20th. What happens is, as the president himself is leaving the White House, the next president who steps in, they change drape colors, they change everything in that office, fit and finish, pencil holders, pop machines, whatever, however they want it to be arranged. These people come in one day, change everything over to the way it's supposed to be. My understanding is when Trump steps back in, it will look exactly like it did the day he walked out. One of the things that they have is a Diet Coke button on the soda machine. He wants that back. Now, I don't know if it's him or the administration. I don't know who it is. But maybe he wants... Harry Sisson is making a big deal out of the fact that Donald Trump's he's got his priorities out of line. All he cares about is a pop machine. It's not all he cares about. This is the first I've ever heard of it. It's not like he talks about it every day. So we come back to this whole H-1B visa thing. It's a visa, first of all. Now, people overstay their visas. If you're here on a work visa, that doesn't mean you're a citizen. You can get citizenship once you're here. You can do all those kinds of things. But they're coming here to work. People are complaining. They're coming in to take people's jobs. Now, yeah, they're coming in to take. I work with some of these people occasionally. Are they taking jobs that people don't want? Well, they're taking jobs we can't fill. So I don't know. I don't know how that works. But for some reason, it's better than just having people coming across the border who are now living in a shadowy underclass to pick your crops, according to the same thing that the reason that the Democrats wanted slaves to pick their crops. Oh, it's going to ruin the economy if we don't have these people, if we don't have these slaves here to pick your crops. Who's going to pick your cotton? Well, you're going to have to develop a machine that picks it, I guess. I guess we'll have to do what we've always done, go out and pick our own cotton. It's crazy stuff like this. And of course, then you got automation. Automation has always been a threat to humanity. There's people have always talked about, in China, they don't like automation there too much because they have so much manpower, they have to put everybody to work. When they were building some of these dams, they had tens of thousands of people working on a dam with shovels. I think the largest dam in the world is in China, I believe. At least it was. I'm not sure if it still is or not. It might be in Russia now. And you have this kind of thing, and so they complain that, well, if all this automation is going to take away jobs for all these humans. Well, we've always been on this edge of automation. Now, the one thing that does concern me, and this is more, goes beyond automation. This is the transhumanism type thing. I'm not talking about sexual orientation. I'm talking about things like Neuralink put into a person's brain. We're getting to the point now where you can have your brain programmed. You could literally, this Neuralink thing can, you know, right now it's going one way where you're telling, you know, you have the Neuralink and it's communicating with the computer. At some point, you're going to be able to download that information in your brain. You know, this is all stuff that you can do on your own. And who's to say that all of a sudden you're going to have no ability to decide one way or another? Your whole moral structure is going to be developed, including your religious beliefs and everything else that you have. Now, I can see this whole thing unfold. AI, robots, and everything else that's happening, all the automation that's happening, and in this thing called the beast. If you read scripture, we're seeing it unfold here. It's happening with technology. People are always saying, well, it's going to be a person. At some point, they're going to say that AI has become sentient. That has become self-thinking, self-aware. It will look that way. Of course, it's going to be able to do all kinds of signs and wonders. So I don't know if there's an actual human, transhuman, what it's going to be, how this is going to work. But it's definitely going right down that road. The technology's there. Everybody's going to worship the beast because it just knows everything. AI, look at the way people are just clamoring over AI and its abilities to do things and treating it like a god. Creativity's going, it's lagging behind in some ways. If you listen to what they say about it. Okay, so we get into the middle of the year, and of course, then some of these lawsuits start falling apart. Then Donald Trump gets shot. Then we have a huge swell of unity among the GOP because of that. Because less than 2 weeks later, he's at the national convention. Everybody realizes this is our guy. Well, they decide on the left, Joe Biden's stepping out. The next thing you know, you've got Kamala Harris at the convention. And her poll numbers go up. Everybody, it's over. According to, what is the guy, Stephen Colbert? He comes out just, it's over. Oh, he's just strutting around the stage. It's over. She's up 3%, 3 points. It's over. Everybody's screaming, yelling, yeah, it's over. Wasn't over, was it? I kept believing all these ridiculous polls. Iowa? They're going to win Iowa by 15%? You kidding me? He swept all the swing states. He got the popular vote. All the while they're telling us, it's really close. It's really close. She's going to win. But it's really close. There was just nothing motivating people to get out to vote for her. And in fact, she was losing people to the other side because she was such a terrible candidate. It had nothing to do with anything else. Gender, skin color, anything else. Now, keep in mind, we also had Nikki Haley. I didn't throw that in there at the beginning of the year. She was running around, talking like she was running and she was going to be the president and she was a person of color and blah, 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 blah. And she turns around and ends up endorsing Trump. Oh, okay, I want to kiss your feet. I need something in your administration now. As far as I know, she's not. I don't think she's on it. She's on any cabinet positions now. As far as I know, she'll probably do something within the Republican Party. I don't know. She'll either that or she'll become a commentator for CNN. One of the two. But she, you got all these people that are poised now in this the coming new year. That want to, now they're all clamoring over what they can do to fit in. And Trump's a very transactional person. If you can come up with a reason for him to hire you to put you in a position, he'll do it. You know, he's not just opposed to anybody. Look at RFK Jr. You know, of all people, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk running Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, a four-letter organization. They had to use more letters to become more efficient instead of a three-letter organization. So the people he's putting in charge of the DOD, people he's putting in charge of whatever it is, you know, like Tulsi Gabbard and everybody else that's out there. It's just the kind of coalition he's putting together here is very broad, very vast, I think very intelligent. And it's going to shake up the deep state. It's just that they don't like this. They don't like this whole thing. Joe Biden with all these commuted sentences and pardons that he's putting out there. I think he's giving Pfizer a pardon, so to speak. He's basically allowing them to close their books for 75 years. I heard something about it. Pfizer's gone to Biden and basically asking for some kind of granted sealed information or what. I don't know what it is. I have to look into that a little bit more. I just heard about it yesterday, last night, actually late. So all this stuff is happening, and the media now is falling back into its, the only thing it knows how to do, rhetoric, narrative, orange man bad. They're doubling down on this whole thing. They have no other playbook. If they would, you know what would really save them? MSNBC and CNN, if anybody from that organization is listening to this podcast, if you just reported the news, no slant, no slander, no rhetoric, no narrative, just report the news, I think you'd be amazed at what would happen to your brand. People would trust you again. Then you could start lying here and there. But in the meantime, you've lost the heart of this nation. They don't trust you anymore. And one last thing I want to finish on, because it involves aviation, and it's that's kind of one of the things I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, but I do know some things about aviation. I want to talk about this. There have been two bad plane crashes in the last 2 weeks, and I want to talk, well, actually, last week. One was the crash near Kazakhstan, and then the other one was this Korean jetliner that crash landed. Both of them. The one obviously was anti-aircraft fire. It was basically flak from a proximity bomb. It wasn't a missile that struck the plane. It was actually an anti-aircraft. I don't know that much about it. I'd have to look into the exact type that it was, but it basically destroyed. It kind of shoots shrapnel around in the sky, and it hit close enough to them that it knocked out the hydraulic system, made it very difficult for the airplane to. It was basically a Sioux City type event. They had no control of the airplane. Basically, they came in to try to make one approach, and couldn't control the airplane well enough. So they were basically just controlling with the thrust of the engines, which is incredibly difficult. You have very little control over the airplane, and it takes a long time for it to stabilize. So they. You know, it'll go into a dive, it'll go into, you know, an up or down situation, and you can't really control it very well. And anytime you change configuration, if you can put out the flaps or anything, your gear, anything that you try to put out, it's going to change the configuration, which changes the airspeed. Of course, the engine's being mounted on the bottom of the wings, and when you, depending on where the engines are mounted and how they're mounted and how much power they have, when you add power, it will push up the nose or possibly push down the nose, which changes the, you know, angle of incident on the wing, and it changes the, you know, the the center of gravity and everything else. It's just center of pressure on the wing. It's all these things that are happening dynamically. Of course, and they're trying to steer it. Of course, more power on one wing than the other to try to get the airplane to move, you know, one way or the direction of it. So on the second attempt in the approach, they brought it in, and then the wings got ripped off. Now, this thing's an E-190, an airplane that I am actually typed to fly. And I'm amazed at how well the fuselage held together on that thing, with knowing how they actually brought it in. They pretty much tumbled in. It was not a really good, very well controlled landing touchdown. The fact that anybody walked away from that was amazing to me. Wings were completely ripped off. Now, they turned around a week later now, a little more than a week later. We have a South Korea. Now, there's a lot of things going on. I've always wanted to visit South Korea. I don't think I would go there right now. They've just impeached their second president. They're going through a turmoil. It's just tumultuous right now with what's going on with their political situation. And if there was ever a time that North Korea would probably want to jump in and pounce on South Korea, it'd be right now, right before Trump gets in. However, they have lost. Unfortunately, all these soldiers that they sent up to fight Russia in Russia against Ukraine, they've been slaughtered. There's just so many of them have just been killed and wiped out. They're supposed to be some of their best people. They're sending them up there to get some real world. Of course, in their heads, they think they're the most elite soldiers in the world because that's what they're told. They go up there and get no fighting experience whatsoever. So they get there, and of course their old-time tactics are just not working, so then they get devastated. So I don't think they have the kind of military strength right now to do anything with South Korea. But I don't think I would go there right now. So then you get this issue of the plane that supposedly struck a bird. Now, I've got a lot of questions here. I hear a lot of people say, there's a lot of commentaries out there. I've heard some people commentary on this that I shake my head and go, you're speculating a whole lot. Now that's all I've got to go on, speculate. But these people aren't saying they're speculating. They act like they know what happened. It's all speculation at this point until we get the black box and everything else that's out. Out there is actually orange, but the recorder, the flight data recorder, the flight, voice recorder, all this stuff. What actually happened here until the investigation's done? Because it's strange to me that if they would have struck a bird with an engine, they lost an engine. This happens every week. Airplanes ingest bird strikes happen every day. Large birds, flocks of birds, don't necessarily happen every day, and occasionally they'll go into an engine, and you get an engine out situation. Doesn't usually make national news. One company I was working for one time, I was in their training department. I didn't even hear about an engine out situation. We had two of them in a year. I didn't hear about it until 2 months later, 2 months after the incident. So it's one of those things where this stuff happens and you don't hear. You know how many flights are going every day? You're going to suck in a couple birds. And the problem with this whole thing is they came in and landed the airplane with no gear down, no flaps down, extremely fast. They touched down the airplane, obviously under very, very good control, landed right on the center line of the runway. With no gear down. And of course, once you do that, you lose control. And of course, the engines are first thing that touch the ground. They're skating along the runway and they're out on the sides. And eventually one of them's going to go off into the dirt. And of course, that's going to cause the thing to spin and tumble on the ground, once the rudder loses control of your steering ability, because as the air flows, as the airplane slows down, you lose less airflow over the rudder, and its effectiveness becomes much less. Next thing you know, it's you can't steer it. And you're still going possibly 100 knots. Especially as fast. They touched down on the ground very fast. Now, I don't know whether they went off the end of the runway. I haven't seen really pictures of exactly where they were on the runway. A couple things might have happened here. One is there may have been a bomb on board the airplane that wasn't big enough to really blow it out, but it was enough to cause damage to electrical equipment. They couldn't get the gear down. They couldn't, because there's ways to make their gear free fall, typically. There are many different ways to get the gear down. If they were on a single engine situation, that's one thing. The plane will still fly with single engine. The other possibility is a bird strike into the nose of the aircraft, into what's called the electronics bay of the aircraft, where they might, who knows what kind of damage it could have possibly done. Maybe it busted up some controls, some electronic controls that were made it impossible to activate certain features, activate the flaps, or activate the, you know, maybe it came through the one speculation is it came through one of the windows in the front. Now again, highly doubtful. In the video I saw of the plane, I don't remember seeing anything missing out on the front windows. And it would have had to been one of the main front windows, not the side windows. It wouldn't be able to come through that. It's too much of an angle. So I don't know. To me, this seemed really, it was a 737-800. Very solid aircraft. I just don't know. It just seemed weird to me that they wouldn't have the gear down for that landing. The other thing that's kind of strange, and we used to do this, this used to be a thing for a while, and this was back, I think it started in the 70s. And I think they stopped doing it in the 90s, late 90s. They used to foam runways. So if you came in and the thing caught on fire on landing, the foam basically put any kind of fire that was a potential fire, put it out. The problem they found with this was that it also lubricated the runway and you'd slide further and it would take you longer to stop. Like I said, I'd rather have a little bit longer landing distance and not catch on fire than to just catch on fire or anything else. But I don't know. Too much speculation at this point, and too many ideas of what possibly could have happened. Why they made the decisions that they made? Were the pilots actually incapacitated? The pilot that was, I think, my understanding, the captain had about 10,000 hours. That's more than enough. He's been through more than enough check rides, more than enough emergency training procedures to know what to do. And South Korea has a very, very good reputation. Their airlines. This was supposedly a low-cost South Korean airline, which doesn't matter. The pilots are still trained to certain standards. So I don't understand. I don't know. No idea. What exactly happened here with this one? My understanding is two crew members were in the tail of the airplane, kind of basically fell out as the tail broke apart. They survived. I don't know how, what kind of shape they're in. And then there were still a couple people missing that they hadn't found yet. They were still looking. But their estimate was 179 people died. Two people were alive. There were 181 people on board. Of course, our prayers go out to the family. It was devastating. My understanding is they landed back at the airport that they took off from. So I think they were going to. It was an international flight. Yeah. We'll learn more as time goes on, but it's not a fun way to end the year, folks. I want to thank everyone who's listened to this program through the year, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for our nation, most of all. Thank you for standing up for what's right in our nation. As we go into the next year, we'll see it unfold. Up until the 20th, and we'll see how things go after that. We know that there's going to be attempts to impeach Donald Trump. I'm sure that's going to happen. Drama will not end this year. But hopefully he'll be off to a good start and at least have some people behind him and get some things done. Reverse our economy, get some things back on track. Folks, God bless. Have a great new year. Happy New Year. Blessed New Year. Take care.